This is the KDNK Local Newscast for Tuesday morning, January 3rd. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District, Canyon City. Republican Kevin Grantham leads the Colorado State Senate this legislative session and says he's the first rural Senate president in more than four decades. He spoke with State House reporter Benta Brickland.
This is your first session as Senate president. Talk about some of your overall goals coming into this session personally.
Several things on our agenda that we'd like to accomplish. Probably first and foremost would be some reform on the construction litigation problems that we've seen develop over the last few years here in Colorado. And I think we actually have a realistic chance of getting something passed unlike the last couple of years. So,
has something changed, or do you think lawmakers have just learned from the failed attempts?
Both. And we have certainly run into some issues with prior legislation that we're trying to address. But other things have also changed, including leadership. Leadership in the House.
I know with construction defects, it's to spur development of new building. Do you see this mainly as a Denver area bill?
Not necessarily. Actually, we see builders across the state on this grand scale of things. Certainly, Denver has the most problems with affordable housing, and so it will probably see the most benefit from reform like this. But this isn't something that will not benefit rural Colorado. In fact, there are builders out in rural Colorado that are excited about some of these changes because, like anybody even here, the big developers in Denver, the little guy out in rural Colorado has trouble affording those insurance rates just as much as the guys here in the big city.
Republicans have a one-seat majority in the Senate. Does that change how you govern when it is so narrow? And as you know, nationally, we have a divided country coming off the presidential race.
It's on a case-by-case basis. You know, it depends on the issue, it depends on the circumstances, and it depends on who's on which side of which issues.
When Trump won the nomination, you at the time said you didn't trust that he was truly conservative and you weren't that pleased with him being the nominee. Now he is going to be the president. Are there certain things you're going to be specifically looking at to see from him? And do you think anything will impact what happens during the session?
You know, even back then, I was always hopeful that he was every bit as conservative as people thought he was. And from what I've seen so far on some of his appointments, I'm even more hopeful and optimistic over what a Trump presidency will look like.
It sounds like energy will be a big focus with, I know, the minority party in your chamber has appointed kind of an energy czar, and then your party has a select committee on energy.
The select committee on energy will focus on many of these issues when it comes to what's happening in D.C. and some of the changes that we might be seeing coming from there, how we can respond to those effectively during the 120-day session.
You'd previously served on the Joint Budget Committee. What do you see as the biggest budget challenges coming into this session?
Well, the biggest budget challenge is the ever-increasing amount that we're having to pay on Medicaid and for the expansions. It's cutting into some of our other, what we feel are necessary functions of government, including transportation infrastructure. That's going to be another one of our main focuses. We're hopeful, actually, to find that solution this year, and it will be a multifaceted solution if we were able to get it done before the middle of May.
Would you consider referring something to voters and letting voters decide whether they'd want to raise the gas tax or come up with some other revenue stream?
If there is going to be a long-term solution to transportation infrastructure, it's going to almost certainly require something that the voters are going to have to weigh in on. What that is, what that looks like, we're still talking about, and we'll continue to address right up to the session and through the session. But what that looks like, I'm not sure, but almost certainly it will be something that the voters will get to weigh in on.
That was Senate President-elect Kevin Grantham from Canyon City. I'm Benta Brickland in Denver.
Last week, President Obama announced the designation of the new Bears Ears National Monument in southeastern Utah. Navajo Nation Tribal Council Delegate Davis Filfrid is one of the leaders who supported the monument. KSJD's Austin Cope talked to him shortly after the announcement.
I know that the bears were not going into hibernation until the Antiquities Act was signed, so I'm glad they'll be going into their hibernation now. And I told everybody that this is the year of the Bears because the Cubs won their World Series, and I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit Bears, or who was the Bears, they win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm really glad. Now we just need to do some big bear hugs with all the people that put all the effort into. You know, a lot of work went into this designation. I know there's one on January the 7th in the local area, which is in Bluff, Utah. There's going to be a big gathering. They want me to be there. It'd be nice if you can come out yourself.
Yeah, on January 7th. Okay, so what? How have you been involved with getting this monument designated?
I've been, I'm a member of the Navajo Nation 23rd Council, and I was a part of the coalition. Myself and another delegate represented the Navajo Nation on behalf of the, you know, with the coalition, and we made numerous trips to D.C. with the whole team, and we met with various, like, Sally Jewell and her team as well from the BLM, you name it, forestry, everybody that had to do with it. We made numerous trips, countless hours. We spent a lot of nights and burning the midnight candle, so we put a lot of effort into this, trying to strategize on what we're going to say next, on what we should do and who we should meet. But at no time did we ever meet. We've never met with the Utah delegation. I think they refused to talk to us.
Yeah,
we even went on top of Bear Ears, and we did our gourd dancing, and we did a lot of things. We did bear dance. We took numerous photos, and we even flew over the whole national monument to be. We flew countless hours over it, trying to pinpoint where we want the what we should include.
It sounds like you're saying, though, that there might have been a little tension from the Utah side of things.
I know we were in Salt Lake City last Monday because the Utah delegation were they were pleading with Obama. And we were on the other side, and the Utah delegation didn't want to give us a room in our capital. So we were squashed into one room, and we were just so packed in there. And we had a press conference, and we went over to their side, and they're supposed to have theirs out in the open. But they took that and put it into another little room where, you know, intentionally. They didn't want us to be in that room, so they kind of blocked us out, and we couldn't even go into their room where they did their press conference. So that was the first time we went up to the Capitol regarding the Bear Ears.
Do you see that as a point of that might be challenging as the planning for this monument continues?
Oh, yeah. They're going to challenge this monument as soon as Trump's administration takes over. You know, we talked about that, and we're anticipating that because there is a provision says that they can't do that.
They can't.
But I know that I'm pretty sure they're going to try.
To try to repeal the monument?
Yeah. But I'll do whatever it takes. You know, I went to D.C. when I had my crutches. Right now, I'm getting over I was under the weather for a while. So, you know, regardless, I'll do whatever I can to make sure that they don't try to appeal it.
Davis Filfrid, we really appreciate you talking with us.
Thank you. You have a good New Year's.
Thank you. You too.
2016 was so good to me.
I'm happy to hear that. Great to talk to you, sir.
That is Navajo Nation Tribal Council Delegate Davis Filfrid. The new Bears Ears National Monument in southeastern Utah is the first in the nation to be managed in partnership with tribal governments. This week's Eye on Crime takes a look at Carbondale police activity from December 9th through the 29th and a theft in Edwards.
Carbondale police responded to 608 calls for service between December 9th and the 29th and made 11 arrests. Seven people were arrested for DUI. One of those was a 14-year-old Carbondale boy who was caught driving a vehicle allegedly stolen from the Crystal Valley Mobile Home Park on December 16th. The youth was also charged with minor in possession of alcohol and marijuana. A 25-year-old Carbondale man who was charged with DUI after being pulled over for no visible license plates was also arrested for multiple outstanding warrants and multiple drug possession charges. Officers also arrested a 25-year-old Carbondale woman for domestic violence and assault on December 17th. A 68-year-old Carbondale man was summoned for driving with a revoked license. Police made two additional arrests for outstanding warrants. And in Edwards, Colorado, on Wednesday, December 28th, just before closing time, a female stole $1,000 worth of clothes and jewelry from the Rogue Boutique. The woman was acting alone and is described as a Hispanic female in her mid-20s, 5 feet 4 inches, 125 to 130 pounds, with shoulder-length brown or black hair and a tattoo on her right shoulder. If you think you have any information about the suspect or this crime, please call the Eagle County Sheriff's Office. That's it for this week's Eye on Crime. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.